All right, I'm recording. All right. This is Christian. Did you clap?
You know, the claps are not, the claps are being muted by the software because they're considered background noise.
Really? So you guys didn't hear my clap?
Heard no claps.
I didn't hear
anything. That's actually problematic for syncing it up.
The thing about syncing just the audio though, like unless there's some like drift over time, then like we'll be able to tell.
Yeah, I mean that's our biggest concern, but honestly, it is easier when you've got the like a loud something that you can just lock onto. But
yeah, it's true.
It doesn't matter. I think Premiere will actually work, but like we should both try Laz and kind of see what happens. Is my thought.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
So I'll say this is Laz, and I'm gonna clap. Okay.
Okay.
All right. This is Laz.
I actually heard your clap. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
Weird.
I'm going to snap.
Okay, go ahead.
Emilio.
Silence.
No snap. No snap at all. Not even a little bit.
Perfect.
Well, guys, we're nailing
this so
far.
Just have to sync to my name now.
We're nailing this so far.
No, but you know what? OBS will record the sound. It's
right.
Just not coming through on Zoom.
Yes.
Oh, but Zoom needs to record it to sync, right?
Yeah, okay, exactly. Okay. It doesn't matter. I think, like Laz was saying, we'll figure it out.
We had a really funny moment with, they were doing a Zoom call with Richard, and it was like for his birthday, and we were with the kids.
Which is
and
my birthday.
He's December 8th.
Oh, I don't know why I thought that he and I had the same birthday. Anyway, all right, sorry, keep going.
But yeah, so he was like, I've been working on, you know, he plays a lot of guitar, and he's like, I've been working on this new piece, and he was like, let me play a little bit for you. And Zoom just filtered the entire thing out. And
no!
We and he'd already taken off his headset, so we tried to tell him. he played for like 2.5 minutes, and it was like Zoom was just
sad.
It was complete silence, and it was like, Richard, it's mute. No, Zoom's filtering it.
Oh.
You guys are like calling him.
That was nice. It was 2.5 minutes of silence. Sorry, Zoom.
I think somebody should start this episode so that...
I think we just did.
But we didn't have like a, hey, this is the thing. I guess it doesn't matter, does it?
Oh no, let's hear what yours would sound like.
Let's hear what mine would sound like.
Yeah.
Okay. Hello everyone and welcome to the show that is called Critical Space Theory. Which we
I wasn't sure which way you were gonna say there.
it's I wasn't sure which way I was gonna say any of this. Which I think is not coming across because I think I'm like nailing this, right?
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah. And I'm Christian. That's how I would open it. And then I would throw it off. Then I would throw it to you guys.
Nice.
Catch it. I'll catch it.
Okay, you catch it.
All right. I'm Emilio.
I nailed it. You nailed it.
Yep.
Yep.
Nice. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children. All right, I won't do that one.
I don't know.
Let's get ready to podcast.
I don't know. I don't think we should steal the opener that Laz uses for his podcast. I think those were verbatim,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Podcasts about web programming.
To HTMX.
The one piece of feedback, Laz, that I do have for your podcast is that you do need an intro because when I'm listening to it on the app, it runs directly, like it just plays like a episode to episode, and I couldn't tell when an episode had started or ended.
I noticed that too.
Yeah.
Like I listened to the trailer and then it went immediately into an episode and I'm like, am I still in the trailer? And it's like, nope.
Yep.
Yeah, actually that's a good point. I've thought about doing some music intro, just like a little beat or something, just for that purpose actually. So it's like, okay, here's the beginning and here's the end. So So I might do something like that. I don't know about
your use your ukulele skills.
Yeah, maybe the ukulele, but
or you know, might obviously be something your wife just with, is like, musically talented too.
Yeah, I'll do something. Maybe even a mix. Maybe I'll see if I can get her help on something.
She's actually explicitly signed not to do the project. She wants nothing to do. She wants no. She's already. She is out. Yeah. No part.
That was
of it.
Yeah part of the agreement of doing the podcast in the first place for her to allow me to do it. She was not able. She's never going to be invited.
Never doing
by her request.
She made a pretty awesome beat for like D&D stuff for us.
The epic beat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, super.
Yeah, epic. I like that one actually. I listen to that sometimes.
Did I ever end up using that? I feel like I tried to incorporate that in somewhere at some point, maybe in a stream or something.
I think it was not quite right for Let's Roll. Like, I think what you sort of said, it was like, it wasn't quite the vibe of Let's Roll characters, but it felt very epic and fantasy. So, like, I'm sure it was, you know, it's like, I ended up listening to it sometimes doing just their writing stuff just because I thought it was like, for some scenes and some like ideas, it like just kind of like felt good for it.
To be fair, Let's Roll characters maybe should have adapted its vibe to that song. Mm-hmm. I think that's sort of a missed opportunity.
Epic fantasy.
There.
Yeah. Should have been a little more epic.
Yeah, for all of our listeners out there who don't know what Let's Roll characters is, that was the YouTube channel that Emilio and I had where we made D&D characters. It was fabulously popular, but basically it was sort of a John and Paul situation, and creative differences.
Classic Emilio Yoko. And Christian.
Yoko showed up.
Creative differences and artistic differences.
So, I am so curious. Who is Paul and who is John?
Oh, I'm obviously John. No, maybe not. No, maybe I'm Paul. Shit.
You might be Paul.
Oh, no, you're definitely John. Oh, man. Can we go back and can I be... the other one. The cool one. Who's the good one? The one
Ringo.
Who isn't Ringo.
Ringo.
No,
oh.
He's the worst. Are you kidding me? He's the worst.
Actually, he did one of my favorite songs, though, but...
What is the other one's name? It's the only one I can't remember.
George.
Name.
George.
George. Thank you. I'd like to be George, please, for 100.
There. Okay.
he's got to be the least known.
Gently weeps.
He is. Yeah, but he was like by far the actual sort of like best of them.
No,
I
that's
mean
not
John
real,
was like an
it?
Absentee father. Like, what a horrible person. Did you guys know that about John Lennon?
No.
I did not know that at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, he had a son before he got together with Yoko. And
I don't know any of this.
I did not know that, but now that I think about it, I probably should have.
Why should you have?
Because I feel like I know him. He's a musician.
Oh, yeah.
But I didn't, I always assumed, you know, he was Yoko's kid.
I mean,
but...
Well, he has two sons. He had two sons. One was with Yoko, and one was with another person prior to getting together with Yoko. And basically, like...
So the one I know is probably not... You know, it's probably the one
he
was absentee with.
Is
that maybe possible?
No, I think... the one he had with Yoko is a musician.
Okay.
And he's like... He's silly. Like, he's like... I don't know. He wears a top hat. You know... What can I say? Do I need to say anything else? He wears a top hat, okay? Anyway.
Unironically, you mean?
Yes, unironically wears a top hat. But yeah, so he like... I don't know if he ever really was in his first son's life. Hey Jude is about his first son. Did you guys know that?
No.
Yeah, Hey Jude is a song that Paul wrote about John's first son. And basically, like, it's about this... boy who's sad and it's because John isn't around and Paul was sort of like there for this kid actually and I think that I don't know if it was exactly like John got together with Yoko and then just like left the mother of his first kid and that kid behind or if he'd already left them behind before he got with Yoko, but he was just like, at least for the initial period, not in that kid's life.
I'm looking at the Wikipedia page right now and it says yeah, basically the parents that, that so his name is Julian Charles John Lennon. Mm. He inspired three songs, Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds, Hey Jude, and Goodnight. Mm. And his parents divorced in 1968 after his father had an affair with Yoko Ono. But oh, yeah, as you say, go. We don't know what yeah. the whether he was involved before that anyway.
I mean, I think Yoko Ono, like, you know, obviously she's pretty unfairly maligned, but also kind of terrible. Like,
like, well, it sounds like everybody blames like the Beatles breaking up, but maybe the bigger story was the family breaking up.
I mean,
similar situation, but different.
She just came in and just destroyed every relationship that John Lennon had with everybody else. But granted, I think John Lennon is the person who was like, I want somebody to come into my life and allow that person to destroy every yeah. relationship I have, right? So, like, you know, giving him no agency and her all of it is, like, totally unfair. But,
yeah,
you know, she was cool with being that person, too. So, just a toxic couple.
Say that, but in John Lennon's voice, though.
I think you're the one who would be best at saying these things in John Lennon's voice.
What was the line?
I don't know.
Come into my life and change everything.
Yoko. Hang on, let me find it. Let me find it.
No, you had it. That was it. It was perfect.
Liverpool, fish and chips. John Lennon, Beatles. Hello. Can you? Damn it! I can't actually do a decent John Lennon, but I don't. I don't know where. I can't find it right now.
Oh man,
it's a little tough. Out there. You'll find it.
Life and... Nope, that was awful. I'm never gonna do it again. I'm so sorry.
That was my first and final John Lennon.
The Beatles, Yoko. That's okay. Right. Yes. I'd like you to come into my life and ruin everything if you're good. It's Ono.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't think you could have topped the first effort.
I recognize that voice, actually, but it's not John Lennon, but it's someone else.
No, it's more Paul McCartney, maybe.
Well, Paul's, I think, a little easier to do, maybe. I don't know. I want me mum.
Me mum?
I want me mum. Oh, anyway, hey, what are we, what's the thesis of this podcast, my friends?
So maybe that's what this discussion
Study
is.
Silence.
Hey.
Yeah. We're talking about whatever we want to talk about this week.
I had a subtitle for our show, which is an excuse to hang out.
Yep.
Hello?
Critical space theory, an excuse to hang out.
Oh, so I couldn't hear either of you for like 10 seconds.
Oh, that was really weird. We were hearing each
other.
I
blame Zoom for that. Yeah, I could hear everything.
Yeah, I got a Zoom like latency thing.
Oh, huh. That's interesting. Well,
edit that out.
Yeah, we'll just take care of that in post, as they say yeah. in the biz. Okay. Yeah. So what is the thesis of our show aside from our excuse to hang out? And somebody answer this while I mute myself and eat a cream puff.
So I don't know, should it be the week, or is that too like specific to like this, to like a point in time?
I like the week.
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, I was hearing you. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I think I think you know, current stuff is interesting, you know, whatever's sort of present for us right now, but if there's stuff that, you know, like we had a little talk about lateral characters, for example. Like, if there's stuff like that that's on our mind, then I don't see why, you know, there's no reason not to talk about it. But, like, I mean, I definitely have some shit that happened to me this week that I'd love to talk about.
Yeah, I mean, I think that I think it should be exactly what you said, which is, like, you know, whatever's on our mind, which I think will map onto the week, and that could be something related to current events or something we did or watched or whatever, or something that we just decide that we want to talk about. I'm feeling pretty open to that. I don't know, you guys.
Yeah. What's like taking over your headspace this week?
Oh, I like that.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, that's well stated.
Critical headspace theory.
Oh. It's too late. Too late. There's no going back.
It wasn't on the list.
We have been speaking for 15 minutes, and I'm not changing now. I'm that. Please.
You've got to be more flexible there, Paul. If we're going to be musicians, we've got to try different things, you know, maybe a different name every week.
I can't believe how quickly I was like, I'm obviously John, and then how immediately I was so obviously not John, and so obviously Paul. Ugh.
I'm going to work on that impression.
Okay, good. I think you should. We'll be able to track how it's improved over time, or gotten significantly worse.
Right.
Well... I'm still working on this cream puff, so somebody else should go on what it is that's up in their headspace.
Oh man, you got anything, Laz?
Yeah. So I got the big thing for me is actually nothing that happened the previous week, but on Wednesday, the family we're taking the kids out of school for a week, even though it's not vacation. And we are flying to St. Martin.
Whoa! Like, where is that? Is that in the
it's
south?
It's way out in the ocean.
It's
in the tropics. Yeah. It's owned half by France and half by the Netherlands.
Whoa.
And I think, I don't even know which side we're going to be on or if we're going to be on both. Grace's parents have always gone there on vacation. And that's like their place that they go, and you know they used to go there when they first got married, and they've never, Grace has never been, and I've never been obviously, and so they wanted to like, they're not sure like how many, you know, how often they're going to be able to go, or if they're ever going to be able to go again, just because you know it's like, just harder as you know they get older, so they were going to bring, they wanted to bring the family and bring the kids to St. Martin, which is like one of their favorite spots. So,
wow.
So that's, we're going on Wednesday to Wednesday, and it's going to be a big trip.
After years of saying, "Oh, I'd love to go to St. Martin's." They finally invited you.
Yep.
They finally said they said, "Oh."
Yeah.
No, have you done any big trips with the kids before?
So we were talking about that. We've never done a vacation, like quote unquotes, like gone to a place and done a vacation type thing. We have visited family, which is like, that's been our vacations, which is a good, you know, like I'm happy with that. It's a good use of vacation time and like effort. We've gone to Seattle a bunch of times. We visited Richard in Chicago. And so we've done some trips, but yeah, this is the first time we're going like on a vacation type trip.
What are you anticipating? What do you think it's going to be like?
Is it warm there right now, by the way? Like, is it in
I haven't even checked the weather, but
to the equator?
Yeah, no, it's the tropics. Like, it's like, okay. I'm going to pull it up on a map too. Cause like I looked at it like when we booked this like 2 months ago or something like that. Mm.
It's like probably hurricane season right now.
Yeah,
cool. Oh,
no,
it's right near Puerto Rico. It's just east of Puerto Rico.
Yeah, it's right there. Yeah.
Okay, let me see.
Yeah, so it's definitely like in warm,
yeah, U.S. Virgin Islands,
place.
Puerto Rico. Okay, yeah. Yeah, man, it's south of Cuba. That's crazy. In my head, it was closer to like. You know,
like Bermuda or something.
Yeah, Bermuda.
That's sort of that was
like
the
that.
First thought that I had, but
yeah, but no, it's way down there. It's past Cuba and past the Dominican Republic. So it'll be a trip. We're gonna, it's gonna be a long. It's not actually as far as Seattle in terms of flying, but
yeah.
Is that technically the West Indies, or is that not right?
I don't know. I thought that was actually. I really don't know. Geography quiz time. Oh, no.
Yeah, right. I'm realizing I have no concept of where things are in the Caribbean at all, and I've been to several of these places.
You have?
I've been to Dominican Republic, Puerto Rico, Bahamas.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but I.
Yeah, it's totally the West Indies. Yeah.
Okay. Huh. But yeah, and we're gonna do. So what we were deciding on just today is like, are we going to do our flight is at 8 o'clock in the morning, so we have to be at the airport at 6. And so do we try to like get a hotel and park there? Or I think what we're going to do is we're going to do the like waking the kids up at 3 a.m. and putting them in the car.
Awesome.
Uh-huh. And we're going to see how that goes. And, you know, it's like you got to find out whether this is a workable situation.
Just keep them up.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, all night.
Not a
chance. No sleep.
He's so miserable. So, and then we have a layover in New York, too. So we're going to be at JFK for a little bit as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
And we'll hang out.
Is it a direct from New York? Is it direct into St.
Martin? Yeah, from New York, it's direct to St. Martin. So, and Grace's parents are already there, and they know their way around. Like, I think that's kind of, I haven't looked at a single thing there. Like, I don't know anything about what we're flying
you're
into.
Just showing up.
And we're just going to show up. We have, you know, we have passports now, which is cool. And we're just going to show up, and they're going to show us the place, I think. And hopefully they have a hotel room booked for us or something like that. I haven't sorted that stuff out, but.
What's really funny is like, so the north, I'm assuming, is the British side and the south is the Dutch side. The north is listed here on Google Maps as the collectivity of St. Martin.
Hmm. Oh.
Which is a fascinating, almost like fantasy, sci-fi-ish sounding way to describe a place, right? The collectivity of St. Martin? Like, what is that?
Yeah, I have no idea, and I wonder, it's such a tiny place, I wonder how they like split it between.
It looks like it's just down the center, honestly.
Dutch side is
Sint Maarten, like S-I-N-T M-A-A-R-T-E-N, which is just ridiculous. Ha! that's good. Yep. You know what that makes me think of? It reminds me of how when I was a kid and there would be other kids who got to leave during non-vacation periods to go do whatever. And usually this is our friend Anna, right? Who was always like leaving with her family to go to like Italy or something. Or I think also you, Emilio, you were like,
me too.
going to India or Turkey or something. Yeah. That's not fair.
That's not cool. That's not fair. I don't like it.
I don't like people who do that.
I don't like it now.
I feel really crass now because I was just like, oh yeah, I've been to a bunch of those places.
That's right. During the school year, not during a vacation.
Yeah. So I'll quickly tell a story. So my grandfather worked for the United Nations. He's from India originally. My grandmother's from Turkey. And one of the United Nations policies or whatever back in the day was that you get home leave. And so my grandfather would take, you know, his family to either India or Turkey every summer for like, I don't know, a month or 2 months. And so they were always going back and forth, my mom and her sister. And like, even though they didn't, you know, then my mom didn't work for the UN or anything like that, she sort of ended up adopting that policy that like summer times were for like long trips to visit family.
I love that.
So that was, you know, what we would tend to travel in the summer for longer periods of time. And then sometimes that would overlap with the start of the school year and we'd be like coming back like just the day that school started or something, or like
roll into school with sunglasses on, just like crazy. No bag, no books, just big shorts.
Yeah. For some reason, a Hawaiian t-shirt, even though you were in India or Turkey.
just trying to look cool. I do realize now, like looking back, that how sort of privileged that was.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, my family. Yeah. Like,
and this trip
didn't
too.
Know anyone anywhere? Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I just feel that way about that. I mean, I'm like, I'm trying to like, I don't know, like my kids' experience is going to be so much different from mine, which is good in some ways probably. And like, you know, crazy different in others. And I'm just like, it's like, oh yeah, like, we're going to jet off to a tropical island for a week vacation. It's just sort of not like, it's like, it's it feels very foreign to me, but you know, this is, that's just how it is.
It's great. We give our kids
yeah.
Like vacation whenever and not having to move every 2 years and a functioning car.
Yes, but let's also, so the flip side of that, right, is like, I moved so often, but like, doesn't that kind of like give you a certain like, I don't know, some like, you learn how to move and you learn how to like kind of adapt to a new place. I think what I worry about with some of this stuff is like, all these are all good things. Like the kids are like, get the chance to like do their thing and settle, you know, build some roots and stuff like that. But also it's like with a lot of this stuff, it's like, I don't know. I don't want to say no hardship or something like that, but it's like, is there a downside to everything is very good?
I mean, I think this is a reasonable question. Like, I'm so like, okay, so you and me, Laz, we both had that lifestyle growing up. Emilio, Richie Rich over here, you tell us.
Yep, you know me.
Do you...
Worked out great.
Do you feel like you've had difficulty adapting to new situations, potentially as a product of your upbringing?
No, but
not
you're
to put
part
you on
your,
the spot
oh,
or
sorry,
anything.
I'm not going
to...
Yeah.
Yeah, yes. Okay, well, let me establish my Rich credentials first.
Yes, please. I mean, you already have, but keep going.
Traveling every year. So, I mean, I think like, well, I guess that's a great question. I don't think so. So when I was in, I don't know, since college and then until basically a few years ago, I moved every year or two. And I actually really enjoy it. I love moving into a new place, settling in, exploring new areas, and I find it pretty boring that I've been in this one house that we're at now for like.
Oh, fascinating.
And I think about moving, and I don't actually want to because I sort of, you know, I'm comfortable here and I like the stability, but I do think about it a lot, and I think, oh man, wouldn't it be so fun to live in this part of town or this place? I think about moving to other countries still. Like, I don't know, but.
Well, what about because so your experience and I feel the same way. I moved all the time and I love it and I think it's valuable. It's a good thing. Like I liked that and I appreciate it when I do move. But yeah, it's the same sort of thing. I've been in place for 8 years. Like, what about your kid? I'm not sure if I should say names just because I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah, but like, we can leave names out for now.
Yeah. So like, you know, he's not having that experience, right? Like he's not moving. And is that good or bad, or is it just different? You know, it's like, is there some resilience that's built from kind of moving around and making new friends? Or is it like, well, you know, sometimes you just get to like really settle in and like really get to know a place.
It's hard for me to answer because I didn't have the, you know, that experience as a child.
But what do you observe with him?
Well, I think he's having the same experience as me. Right.
Oh,
so
yeah,
but I thought,
right,
oh, but I thought you said you did move around a lot. Oh no.
Well, yeah. But not since
I moved around.
He's been
from
in the picture,
like,
really.
Yeah. Well, no, I moved a lot from college.
Okay. So when you were younger, you were in the same place for a while.
But so we moved once when I was three to the house that my mom still lives in, and I grew up there.
Yeah. I gotcha.
So my moving experience was when I was, you know, late teens and 20s for the most part, up till, you know, mid 30s.
Yeah.
And that's different. And so I don't know. So yeah, I think my son is having a similar experience to what I had, and so I don't know if there's, I don't know if I,
and he's never
missed.
You've never seen someone more resentful.
he's a person that, interestingly, you know, very different to me. He really values sort of structure, stability, consistency. I am very much, I want to do something different every time, and so he's much more like. My wife in that way. And so even like what I've suggested, you know, hey, what if we looked at some houses or something, or what if we, he's like, he'll like stare me down and be like, no, Dad.
Oh man.
Moving.
Wow.
Yeah. I get a little bit of the same, same sort of thing. And it's like, you know, I like the idea of like, okay, you know, it's good to like, I feel like it's good to build up some sort of like ability to do that. So it's not like, so you're not scared of it or something like that. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. It's like, you just move for the sake of moving. Like that seems almost cruel. Like yeah, if things are right. good, it's like, oh no, we've built a really good life. No, now we have to get out of here. Like that just, that also doesn't seem quite right to me.
I think like there's a lot of, I think I hear this a lot from like our generation and our parents' generation, that you have to build resilience in certain ways and people have to be tough and there has to be hardship. And I've found myself kind of questioning a lot what that looks like and how to do that, or, you know, once I became a parent. Hmm. And I don't necessarily think that the ways that my parents tried to toughen me up, quote unquote, were, you know, effective. I think they more like, you know, maybe led to me being like very anxious and insecure all the time. But I don't know. It's hard to say. Right. And meanwhile, if I'm trying to think about like, well, is there another way to do this? I think people can build resilience in a lot of different ways.
Oh, for sure.
Right. And actually, Christian, you can probably speak to this much more clearly.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I have before jumping into that, I will say, you know, so we grew up moving around a lot too, and I hate it as an adult. I don't want to do it ever. And so we've got this house now, you know, that we own, and like that just feels like I couldn't be happier with that. The only thing that would really get me to move is like a significant external sort of pressure, like, you know, if my job like imploded, or if this country imploded, and fortunately there's nothing on the horizon that could lead to something like that.
How many hours from the border are you? unrelated question. Unrelated.
I mean, it's not like I've counted it to be exactly 3 hours and 45 minutes, but like, you know,
I can be in Mexico while we record this. If you
that's
amazing.
I can
be there in 15 minutes.
I think we're all relatively close to the border of another country, aren't we?
Yep.
Yeah. About 3.5 hours.
Yeah. But like, yeah. So I don't ever want to move. But of course, having said that, like sometimes there is an escapist sort of aspect of my personality that does find a like a romanticism in that, right? So like, even though I don't want to move and I hate the idea of moving, I like am on an email like list for if
moving for fun.
Well, no. Yeah, right. If it like actually, so my escape plan has always been New Zealand, and New Zealand gives you priority sort of visa and immigration status and all this sort of stuff if you are if you have a particular profession, and psychologist is one of those professions. And so I get email updates on job postings that are sort of motivated to bring in international psychologists to New Zealand. So like, you know, I'm on file with them, and then every now and then, just for the hell of it, I will apply to a civilian position with the military on a base in another country, like Italy or Germany or South Korea or whatever, just to see what happens. And it's never gone anywhere. But like,
it's not compulsory that you would do it though, if you got the job or something though, right?
Exactly. Right. It's like they, you know, I could interview, they could offer it to me, and I could be like, nah, I don't really want to do that.
Okay,
yeah.
Good.
But it's just sort of like, there is that one part of me that just sort of thinks like, what would that be like? But it has to be like a drastic change, right? I don't want to move to somewhere else in the United States. I want to move to like another place entirely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. I would love to.
Yeah. Anyway, what else should we talk about?
Well, I'll scout out St. Martin next week.
Yeah, tell me what the mental health industry looks like there. Although, like, living in a tropical place would be my absolute nightmare.
Yeah, yeah, sun nonstop.
Yep, gross.
We'll see.
Swimming, ew. I still really kind of can't
disagree.
Swim. I basically can't swim.
Still not sure if you'll die every time you put your feet in the water.
Exactly. It's like, it's 50-50.
Let me switch gears, and I got something I want to gripe about.
Oh, a gripe.
That's right.
Emilio's Gripe Corner, I think.
Yes. We'll do a segment.
Isn't that the segment that we decided we would have?
Yeah.
Yep.
And we need to do the intro song, lads, that we set up.
Oh yeah, do the song, lads.
All right. That was it. It was that was actually an electric
Emilio's
guitar.
Gripe
it's hard to tell.
That was incredible. Was that a was that a riff from John Lennon song?
Yeah. No, I hooked that up. Hooked up all the guitar stuff out in the shed.
Yeah,
that moment.
You hooked up every guitar you own and dropped them. You just dropped them.
Nope.
Emilio, what's your gripe?
So, have you guys heard of the game Pal World?
I have heard of it.
It's very, it's like very of the moment.
It's so popular, right? So it's.
I've never played it. Don't know what it is.
For context, it's mainly, I believe, a PC game. I don't know if it's on console. It's sort of like a Pokemon game, but for adults with like lots of guns and also some crafting and survival elements.
Okay. I have heard of it in the context of Pokemon is going to sue the crap out of this thing.
Yeah, that's like
that,
the whole
that was
thing
the context
about it. Yeah.
Ever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's exactly Pokemon with guns.
With okay. guns, yeah. Anyway, it's taken, you know, I'm big into like all these survival crafting games. I watch a lot of YouTubers who do that stuff. I play most of them at some point or another. This one's been taking the sort of community by storm. Everyone's talking about it. Everyone's playing it. Regardless of, you know, how I feel about the game, it looks fine. It apparently is destroying everybody's servers.
Oh, what?
Yeah, so... I heard about this maybe 3-4 weeks ago. Because so many people are playing Pal World, all these server companies, you know, the big sort of hosting companies, like maybe I won't throw out any names, but there's several sort of big names out there that host gaming servers for groups of players. They started selling Pal World servers like crazy.
Oh, so Pal World doesn't provide its own servers then?
It does.
Got it.
Well, okay. I'm not dedicated, sir. I don't know. Okay. I don't exactly know the ins and outs, but yeah, most people get a dedicated. And I've bought many dedicated server. Yeah,
yeah.
For other games, Conan and 7 Days to Die, etc.
Yep. Valheim.
So it seemed Valheim. Yes, we had a Valheim server. I even ran a Valheim server off of my laptop.
That was so hilarious, man. We were in anyway. Sorry, I don't mean to take away, but God, were we into that game for like 6 months, like hardcore into that game,
hard.
And then never again.
Yep. Yeah. Just no one ever talked about it even.
Anyway.
Our friend group like dissolved after that.
I know, basically that was the one thing holding our online gaming group together. Actually, you guys still play 7 Days to Die, but
we do, yeah.
Yeah, I was done at that point.
Sometimes. Anyway, so what happened is it seems like two things happened. The server hosting companies sold way, way, way too many servers. They couldn't handle the demand and they all their servers crashed. They just had too many players. They couldn't keep up with it. It became a nightmare. But then secondly, it turns out that maybe Pal World also has some kind of crazy like memory leak built in that destroys servers.
That's kind of, yeah.
Ha ha.
So what this has resulted in, and my gripe here, is that players like me, you know, more regular players who have had servers and are running servers, all of our shit got destroyed in the last few weeks.
Wait, like your Pal World stuff or other things?
No. My Icarus server was down for days. I had to try like hosting on a different platform.
Wow.
I've heard all these horror stories from like 7 Days to Die people, from Conan servers. Just as long as you had a server on any of these big platforms, their whole system just went to shit in like for weeks and weeks.
Wow.
And it seems, you know, and so on the one hand, I sort of am annoyed at Pal World for whatever their issue was, but really it's these fucking server host companies that like are selling, they're still selling servers. They sold me a server 3 days ago that was down for 3 days in a row. Yeah, and so like they are well aware by now that this is an issue, that they need to either stop selling servers or get more, you know, server power and also deal with whatever the leak is with Pal World, but they're not doing it apparently, and so like it's just become like this disaster where so many players are, you know, unable to play, and you know, and this is such a first world problem, right? Like, oh no, we can't play our video games. Mm. But it's very frustrating, and it's to me like, and my gripe here is capitalism, because like why the fuck are they like irresponsibly selling more of this service that they can't provide, and just compounding the problem. So yeah, that I'm annoyed at Pal World. I'm annoyed at server companies. I'm annoyed at America.
Yeah. So I mean, a server is like, I would put the blame in that situation just personally, like I would probably put it like mostly on Pal World, and my guess would be like any game like that, it's got to be so hard to imagine the problems you're going to have when you scale up suddenly. Like, you know, some of these games kind of like have had a lot of time to like grow online. And if, I mean, I don't know that much about Pal World, except that I know nothing about it like 2 months ago, and now it's huge. So it's like anything that grows that fast, like you could have just the tiniest issue of like one unindexed, you know, query, one unindexed like part of your system that's not using the correct version of RAM. You know, it like uses RAM on disk instead of like RAM, you know, whatever, like those sort of things. And it's like, one mistake like that compounded to this scale, it just could tear down servers. And that was like one of my big things against the Bitcoin world, was the process of updating stuff was so inefficient that you were just burning servers and burning electricity and burning money just for doing like one inefficient like process. You know, it's like just to like make a purchase on Bitcoin, it took this amazing amount of computational power. And that's like, if you make a mistake in code or even just like an inefficiency in something like Pal World and compounded a million, you know, 200 million times or whatever it is, it's like, you just, I don't know what the fix is. Like, who knows what's going on there? But my guess is it's just a couple, like the kind of thing that would never cause a problem at a small scale. And then you just like bring it up and it's like, okay, now this table is huge. And so it's going to take, you know, 30 seconds to query it, which is going to like burn all these servers down. And it's probably something super small. And it's like one of those tiny meaningless things that ends up probably costing millions and millions of dollars in electricity, or, you know, even more than that, actually. Like, it's like,
man, that's interesting to have that, your perspective on it as a coder, because like, yeah, I don't know. I don't know who to blame, and I'm just like angry at people. But
yeah, I mean, if the servers are still like, if they can't isolate it, that's a problem too. Like, they should be able to like, okay, Pal World's obviously causing a problem, so we can separate that. We can sell a server. They don't have to do these like shared virtual servers, or if they're going to share a virtual server, make sure all of the ones that have Pal World on it are shared on similar ones. So I think that's also on them for like how they organize their servers.
I got an email from an older server hosting company that I used to use that I still have an account with, but I don't currently have a server. And they sent an email like, hey, we're ready to host Pal World and Satisfactory now. And then like a couple hours later, they sent one saying, we're so sorry, everybody.
we're about to flip the switch, people. Make sure to follow us on this stream. The switch has been... silence, radio silence.
They offered, they actually are giving any customer that was affected like a free month of server hosting per year into perpetuity.
Whoa.
Yeah, because it was so free, it was
month
that bad.
Okay, wait, free month per year. Okay, never mind. I was just like, I heard the word in perpetuity, I was like,
Yeah.
But right, 1 month a year is good, but not great. Yeah.
It's not, yeah. It's, you save whatever, 70 bucks.
Or
yeah. It's something, but they called it the, they said they would also give you a, Palpocalypse Survivor badge on their Discord channel.
Cute.
At least once it becomes like a common thing, like they have like, you know, it was just Pal's fault. Like,
yeah. Yeah. All right. The funny thing is, and I didn't realize this initially, but like, when Power World came out, I was like, "Oh, this looks weirdly familiar." And I looked, and the developers actually had have this other game called Craftopia, and I had played Craftopia, or I had bought Craftopia to play with my son maybe 6 months ago, and it was horribly buggy garbage, and couldn't connect to multiplayer servers. And so the whole point was that we wanted to play together. There was no way to connect to each other directly through servers, anything. Even though it claimed to have that capability, it was, the co-op just didn't work at all. And so it's like one of the only games I've ever actually returned to Steam. And I'm like, oh man, you know, this game was garbage. And then to see that now they just pushed out this other game into early access and it's, you know, riddled with bugs apparently is, no surprise, I guess.
Yeah.
What's that dinosaur game that we tried to play a little bit of, Emilio, that also was like terribly coded?
Ark.
Ark, that's right.
Ark Survival. Those motherfuckers.
Don't get me fucking started on that.
Oh, dear.
So Ark came out, I don't know, 7 years ago, whatever, right? And it's been desperately in need of an update. Mm. But they were like, well, we're probably not going to update it anymore. We're working on Ark 2. And they're like, we've signed Vin Diesel to be the voice.
That's,
we're
doing right, yeah,
a much more like story based mm-hmm.
One of the
now.
Dinosaurs.
That's right. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, me, T-Rex. Like, it's good, Vin. That's good. Do another line. Do another line read.
He's like, it's all about dinosaur family.
Yeah. Okay. Now you're sad, Vin. So anyway, but they just, like, I don't know, maybe also like 6 months ago or less, they released a remastering of the original Ark, and
at
a $40 price point.
What? $40?
And my dumbass bought it thinking, oh, maybe this will work.
Emilio, no.
It's even worse than the other one. Oh. It's way more like system intensive. It's full of bugs. It's not fun to play at all. I've tried to return it. They said I had played too many hours. I only played so many hours because I spent the whole time troubleshooting it.
Like,
I could barely get the damn thing to work. And then, yeah, anyway, so I am out $40 to these fucks. and also, it seems like this has taken the place of Ark 2. They're not even working on Ark 2 anymore.
Wait. So their remake of Ark 1 has taken over their development of Ark 2?
Yeah, they're talking about like they're doing all these updates to their remake of Ark 1.
Wow.
Let's see what Ark 2 says now. Let's see. So maybe Ark 2 will come out. They're saying that it may release this year.
Okay.
All right, we'll see.
Release terribly.
Ark 2's
been delayed. We have another terrible release coming for
I mean, seriously.
Yeah.
Ark is very popular, and I think it, you know, has the potential to be fun if you have a good group and you have really great computers. But yeah, it's not a well-made game.
Man, I just I can't do those games anymore. Valheim was it for me. It was like, okay, I'm crafting and also doing the other things with other people. This is cool, but also I've now spent like 40 hours on this, and I don't know how I feel about myself. Sort of. All right. I mean, I don't feel better about myself as a person.
Is that why you play video games?
I don't know. I guess I'm just like, maybe that is why I play games, is not necessarily to feel better about myself per se, but to like, to experience some form of growth, maybe? Is that crazy to like want that in a video game? I don't know. I have video games that I've played that make me feel that way, where I'm just like, wow, this is like giving me an experience that is, usually it's emotionally sort of like growth oriented or something. I don't know.
Does it feel like a book kind of to you, or is it more like...
Yes, yes, like a book or a really good movie or really good TV show or something like that. Yeah, I guess I that's where I put video games, sort of like in that same, that's like, fun. Here's what I'm looking for, is like, what insight does this give me on myself or the human condition or on sort of emotional experiences or whatever, I guess. Which I know is not like how everybody wants
it's
to play games.
It's definitely not how I play games.
Yeah, well, yeah, right.
But that's really interesting.
Yeah, I mean, but like, because obviously, Emilio, you love that that style of game, the crafting. Yeah, like.
It's all, and I play.
Yeah, and it does, I mean, I'm assuming it is not checking those boxes that I'm looking to check. Right.
Not at all. Yeah.
What boxes do they check for you?
Yeah, it's like, I really enjoy sort of the progression. I've been thinking about this a lot lately.
Okay.
I really enjoy the progression of a crafting game and the need to problem solve. And I don't enjoy the story-based games as much, and even less and less these days. Because I feel like you're following a story, you're on someone's path, you're not really encouraged to sort of be creative or do your own thing. When I'm playing a game, I really like the crafting, building, and like survival aspects of it. And so all the games I play are like that. And so like I'll find, you know, it probably started with Minecraft as an example, where it's like, oh man, like the first time I played Minecraft, I was like, what is the point of this? What am I doing? Right? Like there's no story, there's no instructions. You're just like, hey, you're a guy, here's a block, do something, figure it out. And then it was like, oh, I get to figure it out. I get to decide, you know, what I want to build. And if I want to build a certain thing, well, then I have to go find those particular resources or those tools or whatever it is. I have to learn how to build them. I have to go fetch them in the world. And that's just like, so then I have like, you know, my purpose is like, okay, find the things that I want to build the thing that I want to build. And I don't worry about like any sort of cohesion or story or anything like that. It's totally different.
And Laz, you're saying you also don't look for the same things I'm looking for, but my guess is you're not necessarily looking for the same things that Emilio is. I'm curious what you're looking for in a game.
It's totally different. I mean, I actually just started playing Minecraft for the first time last week, so I'm on that front. Like, I don't really play any of those types of games, except now I sort of have tried this. I've tried Minecraft. I think I play like right now. It's like comfort. It's just like, yeah, I'm going to sit down and like, I mostly play games that I'm already good at, that I already know how to play. And it's like I do like Super Mario World. I'll try to beat it from start to, I'll do like a speed run of Super Mario World.
Oh, wow. So you'll even try to do a speed run thing.
Well, but not like a real speed run, just like my own personal.
Can you do it?
Yeah. So like, I know all the paths, the secrets to get to beat the boss. So I can do it in like, you know, it's like 16 minutes now. And I remember that when I was younger, I could probably do it in like 12 or 13. So I'm like, okay, I can like get back to that level. And it's like,
you've fallen out of your training. And so you got to get back into it so that you can.
No, exactly. And it's
Mario
the same,
ready.
Same with Mario Kart. Same thing. It's like, you know, I can pick up some of those old tracks and I'm not going to beat where I was before, because I'm not willing to put in the training and the time and the effort that it takes to be great.
Well, the carbo loading and the protein shakes.
Right, you're walking expensive. Around with a, you've got a trash bag on so you can sweat inside of it.
Yeah, exactly.
Drop water weight.
And a tub full of creatine.
Well, that part's true.
Yeah. Well, we've all got a tub.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, it's
I'm eating it right now.
No, I think I play just like, I play like a couple baseball games. I play like Mario Golf, like just like things where I'm like, okay, I can start and stop this at any time. And I'll just pick up the controller. I play some of the Zelda games. I'll just like run around the world a little bit, because they're like, it's most of it is like a lot of familiarity. And, you know, Minecraft has been kind of fun. That's something we just got. And that's been fun. And like, I mostly play games with the kids. Like that's the other thing is unless it's like a baseball game where I'm like, no one else is around, I'm like, yeah, I'll just play a couple innings. Like I mostly play things along with the kids or I play so that, cause they like watching games. Like they like watching people play. They watch on YouTube all the time. And they actually like, they just like watching me beat games or play games sometimes.
man.
Not my kid.
No.
What? But I did want to ask what your first impressions of Minecraft are.
I like it. I mean, it's like, I don't really know. It's like what I'm doing exactly, except that, like, you know, we had the first decision we made was, is it peaceful or is it easy? Like, between, you know, so, and I chose easy because at least then you can get killed. Like, it's like, I think there's something nice about the challenge. Like, that you have that first night out there, you have nothing. You like dig yourself a hole and wall yourself in and wait out the night with like monsters above you. And that was fun. Like, I like that. And then, like, I've been killed a few times and it was a pain in the ass. But now I got like plans. I'm going to build like the world's biggest staircase up to the top of the mountain next to my house. And that's pretty much like, that's what my plans are for the next, like, whatever it is that whenever I play that game, that's what I'm going to be doing is like building this like stairway to God or whatever it is.
I love that. That's how I look at those games. It's like, I have a project I want to do. It's kind of like a creative outlet, right? It's like arts and crafts almost. It's like, oh, I want to make a thing. You know, it's how I sort of approached a lot of the woodworking stuff that I did. It's like, I didn't know shit about woodworking. And then I'd be like, oh, well, I want to make a desk. Okay, well, I need these particular tools to make a desk, right? Okay, let me go get them. What are the good versions? I have to research them, right? And then, okay, I need this piece of wood. I need to cut these things in this way. I have to figure out a design, right? It's all of that. And then I get a desk and it's not very good, whatever. But like, that was sort of, that's how... become now. I don't do any woodworking. I just play fucking Icarus. It's a lot easier.
Man, that is so funny. All I want to do, I just want to feel something. I just want to feel something. I you know, and it's funny because the thing I was going to talk about was gaming as well today, but from a very different angle. So I think this. My topic can just merge with your topic and we can bounce back and forth. But like, I just started playing this game today that I'd been interested in for a while. And then it went up on sale on Steam. It's called Planet of Lana and it's a side scroller. Beautiful looking. First off, like that is, as Emilio knows, a requirement for me with a video game. Like I want the game to be aesthetically pleasing. It doesn't have to be photorealistic. If it is, that's cool. If it's pretty, but whatever its style is, I want that to be like, you know, a very good, if not the best version of that aesthetic. And so this game, Planet of Lana, it's got these, you know, a very sort of like watercolory feel, pastel-y feel maybe to like the art. It's on another planet, and you play this girl whose name is Lana, and your sister, Aelo, has been taken away by these giant machines, and so you're going through this world, and it's very simple puzzle solving, I guess, to get from one sort of area to the next, but mostly it's beautiful, and it's also evocative, and so, like, the feeling to it is nostalgia, you know, around... like nostalgia and like loss, and so there's a melancholy to it which is contrasted with the very beautiful, you know, in many cases in the sun sort of scenes, and just like feeling like this is the type of thing that I like to have like when I'm just leisurely doing something. Like it almost feels like if I'm not having an emotional or intellectually sort of, you know, stimulating experience with a game, I'm sort of like, it feels too much like wasting time. And so maybe I'm like convincing myself that it's actually meaningful because I have an emotional response to it. But I'm just noticing like, that's what I'm looking for. And like every game that I'm sort of playing and like, oh man, that was such a like, usually like beautiful experience is the word I'll use. Like that's such a beautiful experience. It has these sort of, you know, emotional qualities to it. And so it's so interesting to me, like the differences in sort of what people are looking for in gaming. I don't know.
Yeah, it's true. This looks gorgeous, man. I'm looking at this on Steam.
Doesn't it look beautiful?
Absolutely gorgeous. I actually might want to try to play this with the family. This might be,
is it like a Hollow Knight type thing? Like, have you played Hollow Knight?
Hollow Knight is brilliant. It's not like Hollow Knight. Hollow Knight is more, you know, you're having fun with Hollow Knight because of the mechanics, and there are some light story stuff there, but it's like, who cares? It's just a really fun, cool game. That is about, for me, it's like exploration, right? Oh, I haven't been over here. Let me go over here and figure this out.
Yeah.
But
yeah, we played that as a family and loved it.
Oh, how awesome. What a great game to play with the family. Planet of Lana is more like, this is a story and you're playing through the story, and it's beautiful and, like I said, evocative. But it's not a heavy lift, that's for sure.
Yeah. I noticed that they also are the developers of a game called Somerville.
Yes, which you and I have talked about before, Emilio.
I don't remember talking about that. Can you remind me?
Yeah, so Somerville is also a really cool looking game, and it's like the game is done in like 3 or 4 hours or something like that. It's a short one, and I think Planet of Lana is also relatively short. But it is a game that you're this dude. You're in your kitchen at home with your wife and kid, and like suddenly aliens invade, and you're running out of the house, and the game is going. And it goes into weird places that are sort of trippy, and you don't really know what's going on, and then like the game is over. And maybe there are like different endings or different ways you can go. I couldn't quite tell. I did a run through of it once, and I thought, oh, that was cool. But aesthetically, really beautiful. One of these games where, you know, there are multiple layers of imagery. So there's like a foreground, and then there's the, you know, layer that you're in, and there are maybe like three layers behind you, all sort of in motion as you're moving through this world, creating this really beautiful, this really great sense of sort of space, I think. And so that one also really cool looking. But yeah.
Planet of Lana on sale currently. 30% off on Steam.
Yeah, and if you buy it, you also get Somerville. Yeah, go ahead. Or maybe
yours. No, I feel like the way that you're talking about it, I feel like if I played games on my own, because what you're describing sounds like I read books for a similar thing. Like I'm like, I love to have like just, even if it's like a corny emotion, like I love just, I think like the emotion, like having this kind of like fantastical, wonderful thing that is like an emotional experience like that. I think that's usually because, and I just, you know, I read those alone. I just kind of like will find a book and read it, but like I never play video games that I can think, you know, maybe a few minutes I'll play like a sports game by myself, but like it's just not something I don't play on my computer. We have a family TV. If we're playing games, it's kind of for everybody, so I don't even think of them really as like an experience more personal experience like that, at least not right now. But I feel like I could be convinced, like when you're talking about it, I'm like, huh, that sounds kind of fun. Like,
I have 20 recommendations for you.
Nice.
What, you know, what's interesting too, and that point around sort of like, you know, doing things in a group, I'll tell you, man, you know, you guys both have families who play games together, like video games together. My wife wants nothing to do with gaming at all, and I would think that it would be a tough sell when my daughter is old enough to, you know, essentially get permission to have her be able to play games with me. Like, I don't think that's on the table, honestly.
Ooh, that's tough, because I have some mix where I'm like, okay, you know, how much gaming is good and how much is okay, but like we've had so much fun that I'm just like,
right,
that I would be really, you know, I think, you know, my kid, like I think my kids are obviously probably on the far end, you know, they're on the, actually they're probably like medium high spectrum for like playing games, like because they play a decent amount, but they also just like watch stuff, and they, you know, they like, they're sort of in that, they like doing game stuff, but you know, it's, they're not like, I wouldn't say a hardcore gamers exactly. They just sort of enjoy it. But yeah, that would be like, we've had some great family, you know, Hollow Knight was a great one as a family. And like, just like, we have like a certain shared, like shared experiences because there's one TV and it's in the center. If anybody's playing a game, we're all sort of like, oh cool, let's check it out. You know? And like, we sort of play it together. And that's been like super positive, I think, you know, I mean, who knows in the future, but it feels like a very positive family thing we've done.
Yeah, what's your take on this, Emilio?
Yeah, we're a gaming family. We do a lot of gaming. I have a gaming channel that I stream to occasionally. Like, I would find it hard to like tell my son to not do gaming stuff. He's very into it also,
and he occasionally has at least a streaming channel as well.
He's put out some YouTube videos like tutorials on Minecraft in the past, although those are now private since we don't want to have too much exposure out there. But yeah, I mean, you know, that's his go-to downtime thing. You know, when he's not reading or drawing, he wants to do some gaming with his friends. He's doing it right now.
And there's kind of like the more I do have kind of like a hierarchy of like what's kind of okay and like, you know, how much time people spending on stuff. And like, if I compare gaming to watching TV or watching YouTube, like I would much rather they were playing something that most of the time. I mean, there's some exceptions. Like I actually am maybe putting Roblox into the exceptions rule because I'm just like, that is probably the most mindless game I've ever witnessed. But like there is something about like in interactivity versus something completely passive. Like, I mean, they watch like YouTube and stuff and, you know, that feels like, I know that's like the generation, that's how it is. Like, people watch YouTube rather than television shows a lot, but like that feels so passive sometimes where I'm like, you know, if it's the middle of the winter, I'm like, I can't, you know, we're not going to go play outside right now, but you know, if we're going to be doing something, like let's at least play a game or something like that. If we're, you know, if it's not going to be like other sort of activity time, I don't know. It feels better than TV to me.
I think I agree. And some of our, you know, biggest fights about gaming have been about like what kinds of games Rohan is allowed to play. Oh, I said his name, but he's, you know, he wanted to play Roblox. All his friends played Roblox. So it was just like, this is the way that we communicate with each other is through like Roblox speak. But we don't let him play it anymore because like you say, the kinds of games that are on there are literally just like, hey, click this button every 3 seconds. Ugh. Or, you know, it's
awful.
Just, sort of progress for the sake of progress.
And some of them cost money in the middle of the game. It's like, it's shocking.
Yeah. You know, one year we gave him these Robux for Christmas cause he just really, really wanted it. And he, you know, he bought some skins or whatever, who cares? But like, I don't want that to become the thing. And I hate games that are pay to win. I definitely want to avoid that. But then I'm very encouraged when I see a couple things about the way he games, which is one, he's, you know, he likes to build and create. So Minecraft has been great for that. He doesn't play Minecraft in survival mode at all most of the time. He plays in creative mode purely, where you can fly around and just access any block in the game. And he will build these amazing things in like, you know, 20 minutes. He's like, hey, I built a giant zombie statue. And it's like really good. It's like stuff that you would see, you know, on these like Minecraft servers potentially. But the other piece of it is that, you know, unlike me, so I like to accomplish things in games, and that the survival crafting example, right? I like to kind of set a goal and work towards it. He has no interest in that. He likes to try to break games. He likes to sort of create chaos and like push the limits of like, oh, you know, they let you go to this part of the world, but what if you keep going? Like, what's over this next horizon? Or like, what happens if I spam this character over and over and over again? Will they eventually break? Will I crash the game? Right? He's trying to get there with his gaming. And it's sort of more and more he's been into that as he's gotten older. Like before, we used to play some games together that were more like story based or whatever, but like now he's not, and I'm really not into it either. But so that's sort of his penchant when we play. Although with some games, like we've the two games that we've played a lot as a family, and we've done more like LAN party style than all in front of one screen. We each have our own laptop. Is Don't Starve Together and this game called Stardew Valley. Christian, you know Stardew Valley.
Yeah, oh, I know them both. Yeah,
which are both like really fun multiplayer games. They're both very cute, and they scratch sort of all of our itches. I get to kind of do crafting and survival stuff. My wife likes to sort of just build and farm and like create like little settlements, and then my son gets to just go off and cause trouble. It has all of that, and those games we've dumped hours into those games together. Like in a single day, like sometimes like 7-8 hours we've played together.
Yeah. No, it's funny, fun. I was just going to say, I just want to give a quick shout out to your wife that it's like, whatever, it's like, you know, I do think the gaming has been fun for the family, but I have no doubt that whatever you guys end up doing, if it's not gaming, you know, it's like, that's going to be a fun thing too, you know?
Yeah. I think it's just interesting to think about that. It's like, I don't see the sort of gaming together thing in my future unless like my daughter, you know, really wants to make it happen, in which case it'll be like a father-daughter thing. And because like I just don't see my wife sort of wanting to be interested in that. But at the same time, like, you know, she's going to bring things. My wife, that is going to bring things. Yeah, that like,
probably super cool things. so good to know and to like be into and like all those kind of things.
Oh yeah, she'll probably like, you know, teach our daughter like, oh God, I mean, to how to garden. You know, not that Emilio might not be teaching. I mean, you may be teaching that to your son Emilio too, just because that is an area of yours. But like, you know, how to garden and like, how to sew and knit and like how to craft jewelry or
run
whatever, like, you know, yeah, run a business, like and so like, you know, it'll be interesting to see where my daughter finds herself, sort of what she gravitates toward, and so yeah, it's interesting. But man, no, the family gaming thing is almost certainly not going to happen.
Oh, yeah.
Have you guys, did either of your parents ever get into gaming with you?
Oh, man.
Oh, Richard.
Richard is like a 100% no, right? Like,
yeah, no, there's, yeah. I don't even know if he's ever picked up a controller. Like, I would be very surprised if it wasn't, unless it was to move it out of the way. That would be really the only time he's touched one.
The man has never played a game. Let alone a video game.
I wouldn't say so.
What is this, Monopoly crap?
Yeah. Scrabble, that's a nonsense word, son.
Yeah.
Actually, he loves Scrabble.
Yeah, I'm sure. Like, Scrabble's amazing. But my dad, my mom, absolutely not, of course. But my dad, I have these memories that are still very sort of accessible, which is that when I was maybe 5, 6, that kind of thing, my dad's stepsister let him borrow her Atari, and we had a couple of games on there, but the one that that I most distinctly remember is Joust. Do you guys remember Joust?
Yeah.
No. Oh, okay.
That's okay.
Well, it's great. It's like these, it's bizarre. Like, there are these platforms and they're over lava, and you are these players who are riding giant flying birds, and you have a
lance.
Lance, thank you. You have a lance, and you fly around attempting to either cooperatively beat these other flying people, or you fight each other. And so I would play this game with my dad when I was 5 or 6, and I was a little kid playing a video game, and I figured it out, and I was like good at it, right? And my dad was not. And he would get mad, and he'd like throw the controller, and he'd like yell, and like it was just this like really aversive experience, and it was so unpleasant that I would pretend to be worse at the game.
Oh no.
Yeah, so that he would,
such a reversal.
Oh my God, so that he would not be angry when we were playing. And so that is the experience of gaming with my dad that I have. And I'm just like, Yeah, nope. Nope. Yeah. Basically, after Jousting, I never really tried to engage him in gaming again.
It's sort of the perfect title for that scenario as well. Joust. You guys were just jousting.
Yeah, we sure were. We sure were. God.
We just rewatched the movie Searching for Bobby Fischer, and there's a scene in that where the protagonist, who's like 7, I think, his dad finds out that he can play chess, and they play together, and the dad wins. And then he's like, "Oh, you know, I thought he might be a little better or whatever." But the mom's like, "He's letting you win, you know."
Oh man,
he doesn't want to beat his dad.
Yeah.
And so then there's a great scene where they play. Dad's like, "Play me for real," and the kid just kicks his ass. And
yeah.
I played, and maybe we should think about wrapping this
it up. Yeah.
But I'll just drop this one quick story. I played. My mom is not a gamer at all. Doesn't care about video games. She likes games. We got her to play King's Quest 5 through 8.
Nice. 5 through 8. Oh my god. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I remember playing that at your house too, but yeah.
Yeah, I don't know how it happened. I don't know how we got her hooked on it, but like
5 through 8.
We just started playing King's Quest 5 and she kind of like looking over our shoulder and she's like, "What's happening?" And we started telling her and like I can't tell you how excited my brother and I were to have my mom playing games with us. Like,
that's
it was
super
like
cool.
Such a treat, and like I wouldn't think of it like as being such a big deal. But man, we couldn't believe that she was interested in video games.
Well,
right?
Knowing your mom, even now. It's impossible right. to imagine. Basically,
right. and so we were like overjoyed, and we were like, "We'll play this game all for the rest of our lives if we have to, if it means you're going to join us."
Oh, man.
That's how we played all the way through number 8.
You know? Oh, my God. Yeah, your mom is such a, like, serious person that it's so impossible to imagine.
Yeah, you know what's funny is my mom is not that serious, but she is totally serious to everybody outside of her sort of inner circle.
Hmm.
Which I guess means she's serious.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I think that does mean she's serious. Yeah,
but that is a distinction. That's like
yeah, it's fair.
Yeah,
she's like sort of introverted and socially anxious and also like very warm and loving at home and just doesn't come out when she's with other people. But yeah, it's interesting because I know her perception and like. And I've seen her that way a lot of times, but I also need to give her credit from time to time.
5 through 8. Shocking.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
I know, so many games. We were just, at one point we were sitting there waiting for King's Quest 7 like, to come out. We're like watching the release date. We're like, "Oh, we're going to pick this up as soon as it drops."
Oh my God, that is so funny.
Such a random thing.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Those games, by the way, and this will be the last thing I say, those games, by the way, like, they are all available through emulation now, and it's this particular system, and I forget what it's called. It might even be like SCUM or something like that, which is an acronym for it. But it's the system and or the software, and there are like, you know, hundreds of titles actually. Some of which you'll remember, and some you'll just be like, "What?" It's called SCUM, yeah, SCUMM. And it is like, so you can play like those Indiana Jones games, the Monkey Island games, Legend of Kyrandia. Do you guys remember that?
No.
Oh man.
No.
Did you guys ever hear of Pajama Sam?
No.
That's another, these are all like, you know, mostly point and click adventures, right?
Yeah.
And so they're all available, in all of their pixely glory. It's like, Loom, of course, which you introduced me to, Emilio.
Oh, shit.
Along with Monkey Island and the Indiana Jones games. Those are all, you introduced me to all of them. But, they're still out there, actually.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I might have to go play some Monkey Island. Holy crap, Monkey Island.
I know, right? And there's a newer Monkey Island one. It came out a few years ago. Well-rated.
They keep making them. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's on Steam, and I keep on, like, almost buying it. So close.
This is the kind of game my son might like, actually.
Oh,
it's very silly. You get
he
to kind
of would like even the I, little I know of him. I feel like he would.
I'm gonna have to give it a shot. Yeah,
yeah, it's worth a shot. I love just the, like the insult fights. Like, do you remember that? Like, that is brilliant.
Oh yeah, that's I think of that to this day.
Yeah. Anyway, Laz, do you have a last word?
Nope. I'll be heading out of the country soon. That's all. Getting ready for it.
Hey, that's gonna be great. When do you guys leave?
Wednesday.
Okay, cool. Will you? As that, I guess that means you won't be able to do this next week.
No, I'll be
okay.
Probably unavailable.
All right. Well,
do we have two episodes here?
I think conversation flows in a way that it that would be weird.
That's fair.
Yeah.
But I don't know. You know, we could release this episode like after we have a second one, and then we could release them on a weekly basis if we want to doing that kind of thing.
Yeah, I'd be down as long as I don't have to do any editing.
Let's talk about it. We'll figure it out. I mean, you don't have to do any editing, but we'll figure out the scheduling.
Oh, thank God.
Poor Emilio.
We'll talk about the editing later, Emilio. All right, we'll see you guys later.
All right, cool. Well, let's say goodbye. Goodbye, everyone. Thank you for listening to our show. You almost certainly have made it. If you made it 5 minutes, you made it an hour and a half, I'm sure.
And this is John Lennon.
Oh no!
Oh, that really was John Lennon.
Thanks wow. for tuning in, mate.
Amazing.
And me, Paul McCartney. Thanks for tuning in.
Yeah, oh, that was, well, that was not bad.
Yeah,
though.
No, now
yeah,
we're
that
talking.
Bad. Yeah. Okay.
I can do
here
that
we
one.
Go.
I can't do Lennon. I can't.
Game
do
on. All right. Bye, everyone.
All right. On the flip side. Bye.